HMS Net Radio, Christian Ehrenhiders, 70s Punk and Beyond.
Driven by conflict, paralyzed by terror, Northern Ireland in the 70s was prime for punk. And when it came in the form of the Undertones, Stiff Little Fingers and more, it exploded as a brand. Its prime movers lived through the riots and reveled in a flurry of Pritt Stick and Xerox sleeves. The punks had no fear. New York had the trousers, London had the haircuts, but Belfast had the reason. This was the rationale of Terry Hooley, promoter, label boss, and owner of a record shop, Good Vibrations. If ever a city deserved punk rock, he was living in it. Hooley's domain was 102 Great Victoria Street, a slice of the most bombed piece of real estate west of Beirut. His output would be a series of enthralling records by the Undertones, Rudy, Protex, The Outcast, Rufex, and more.
I gotta hide. Cause if I don't, I'll go inside. But what I've done, I gotta go, but it ain't real one. Try to get money, didn't work out right. Fast into a mobile, picture in fright. Confused and alone, tired and hot. The radio said, I'll soon be caught. Or ripped and torn, twisted and hot. I don't have to worry, I got what you got. There to me, I gotta stay free. Inside a prison, such an ugly vision. CRTVs don't work for us, don't work for us. By the guys stay free, body so alive with the will to survive. Nurse takes cost, don't wanna get caught, don't wanna get caught. Confused and alone, tired and hot. The radio said, I'll soon be caught. Ripped and torn, twisted and hot. I don't have to worry, I ain't got what you got. We'll be right back. tree. Dead in my feet. Watching concrete all around me. A way of escape. Nothing is clear. Nothing is clear. Riddled with fear. Trapped in a corner. And all I hear is shouting and confusing. The end is near. Confused and alone. Tired and hot. The radio said just a big car. Ripped and torn. Twisted and hot. I don't have to worry.
When Hooley opened his shop in 1977, he named it after the Trog's terrible 1975 version of the Beach Boys song and stole the logo from the record company press ad. Business prospects were not encouraging. There had been some 2,000 killings in 8 years. The city center was locked off at night with the Hatred Ring of Steel. Gangs like the Shankill Butchers carried out pathological acts at will. Hooley, like many others, would wave goodbye to friends of an evening only to attend their funeral the following week.
Kids, they wanna get time, they all wanna get stuck in.
Walking around Belfast at nighttime was scary, recalls Hooley. To call the record shop Good Vibrations in the middle of all this was just bonkers. Live music was another victim of the Troubles. Events from 1972, like the Abercrombie restaurant bombing, 2 dead, 130 injured, and Bloody Friday, 22 bombs and 9 dead, 130 injured, made clear the dire risk of city centers socializing. Then on July 31, 1975, the Miami Show Band were flagged down after a gig at the Castle Ballroom in Banbridge. But what appeared to be a regular security checkpoint was in fact manned by a disguised paramilitary group, the Ulster Volunteer Force. While the band were detained, an attempt was made to plant a bomb in their van, which went off prematurely. In the chaos afterwards, three of the musicians were shot at point-blank range. Aside from gigs, Horse Lips and All Ireland favorite Rory Gallagher, the gig circuit withered. A Saturday afternoon option in the mid-70s Belfast was the Pound on Town Hall Street, which had featured as a makeshift morgue on Friday. This primitive venue was home to bands like Light and Skaboo 60s survivors who would reprise old them songs and rock standards. The other option was to book private parties in low-rent hotels and dive bars, getting your band in the doors by default. This was the ruse that a new wave of young Belfast groups adopted. The Trailblazers were Rudy from East Belfast, Brian Young, and Graham Grimy Marshall had traveled to the Isle of Man in July 1975 to see T-Rex, where Mark Bolan presented them with a songbook and a tambourine, respectively. They seized the torch, and by 1976, they had a name adopted from a song by Anglo-Scots Bower Rockers Juke and a reputation.
The man upstairs, he grips my arm, saying, "Don't I know you're dead?" All I could hear was the fire alarms, the day my pad went mad. All I could hear were the fire alarms, the day my pad went mad. The kitchen has been
sunset, ski trails in the hall. A chicken has been downset and thrown against the wall. In walks the dumb waiter with a fancy pen and pad, saying, how do you want this alligator? The day my pad went mad. How do you like this alligator? The day my pad went mad. The hamster had been slaughtered, the parrot bound and gagged. The guard dog had been sorted out and absolutely shagged. The goldfish drowned, the cat was found, kicked around and stabbed. The radio did not make a sound, the day my pad went mad. The radio did not make a sound, the day my pad went mad. Tires had been slashed. There was nowhere out of it. I was stuck with what I had. Out of order, beyond repair. The day my pad went mad. Out of order, beyond repair. The day my pad went mad. Yesterday I had the place rewired and I slung out all of my junk. I stumbled down onto the fire and a telephone now defunct. I peeped through the Venetian blinds and the rain fell down so sad. On the broken home I left behind, the day my pad went mad. On the broken home I left behind, the day my pad went mad.
You are listening to Christian Arnheiter's 70s Punk and Beyond here on eclectically powered and multidimensional HMS Net Radio from Houston, Texas. Elements of the more fashionable set were clubbing to Bowie and Roxy records at the Trident in Bangmore. 12 miles away from the Rudy M.O. was to hire the Glenmachan Stables or the Gitron Lodge, East Belfast venues that tolerated underage drinkers and then charged friends for the invites. They were violent places. We had nowhere else to go, says Young. Then punk broke and people identified with us. You thought you were the only people who were into this stuff. You didn't realize that two streets away, two other people were, reading Sounds and New Wave Musical Express.
Stuck in history. All aboard for Sodom.
The Clash were booked to play Ulster Hall on October 20, 1977. Young was near the front of the queue and watched the crowd swelling. It was potentially Belfast Punk's coming out ceremony, but with hours to go, the insurance was pulled. The Punks became Fractus, and the Royal Ulster Constabulary piled in. Bedford Street was momentarily blocked in protest. Some fans traveled up to Queen's University Students' Union, but there was no chance of a rescheduled gig happening there at short notice. The Clash members met with some fans at the Europa Hotel. Rather contentiously, they also found time for a photo session. The Adrian Bootshots pictured them being body searched in the city center and then at large on the staunchly Republican Falls Road. Canceled gig would have a perversely galvanizing effect, providing glue for a nascent community of embryo bands and fanzine writers. Alec McMorty from Stiff Little Fingers remembers a great feeling of camaraderie. Very much of us against them. They, the Police, didn't know how to react. It was also the first time his bandmates Jake Burns appeared on BBC Radio Ulster remonstrating about police conduct.
Rumor on my soul. use torture, anger, blood and hate. And I hate them, and the rain, the men in the rain. Don't stare at me. The rain, the men in the rain. Don't look at me. The rain, the men in the rain. Don't look at me.
Gordy Owens, a teenage truant from Sandy Row, persuaded Terry Hooley to see Rudy and the Outcasts play at the Pound on January 12, 1978. Once again, there was a high spirit, a few smashed lights, and irate policemen. Rudy had written a song about the class debacle called We Hate the Cops, and the intro, SSRUC, was raised by the young punks to greet the boys in green. Reinforcements from the Ulster Defense Regiment were called in. Hooley was elated. That was the night I realized that punks had no fear. I was really impressed by that, the anarchy of it all. There was talk of a Rudy Flexi disc and a giveaway with Gavin Martin and Dave McCullough's alternative Ulster fanzine, but when Hooley costed it out, it came to 11 pence per unit. An actual vinyl 45 was only 6 pence more. The EMI pressing plant in Dublin was booked, and Good Vibrations, the record label, was born in a spirit of discovery.
Thick, but I can strap on an axe, a shank
Big Time by Rudy was released in April 1978 for the definitive Belfast Indie Rouser. In another resourceful move, the cover was an A3 printed sheet, folded origami style, inspired by similar arrangements with a Carpenter's Christmas single. Now it was up to Hooley with his roots in 60s counterculture, his gregarious style, and glass eye removed at will, dropped into pints of beer for comic effect to give it the sell. He was the first grown-up who took us seriously, says Brian Young. We were just these teenage troublemakers. Terry had a bit more sus. Plus, he can be eloquent and entertaining. He could walk into the BBC and talk to people. All we knew about the music business was Stardust, and that'll be the day.
Go through the door.
You are listening to Christian Arnheiter's 70s Punk and Beyond here on eclectically powered and multidimensional HMS Net Radio from Houston, Texas. The next requirement was a regular venue. The likeliest candidate was the Harp Bar, then an embattled building on Hill Street with a chicken wire enclosure and surveillance cameras outside. Downstairs was favored by members of the official IRA, and two civilians had been killed there in the gun and bomb attack by Ulster Freedom Fighters in August 1975. Yet, there was a roughhouse atmosphere inside that was strangely amenable to punk rock. It was booked by Victim and the Androids for April 21, 1978, and soon became a preferred location for Rudy, Stiff Little Fingers, The Outcasts, plus Mainlanders, The Fall, and Monochrome Set, all featured that year.
We'll be right back.
Punk and the Troubles called an easy truce at the Harp. Both the Androids and Roof Rex had guns pulled on them, and it wasn't unusual to see British Army patrols watching the bands cradling submachine guns. Yet generally, this was a place where teenagers from Loyalist and Republican backgrounds could meet without sectarian baggage. Punk gave people the opportunity to move outside their own areas for the first time, says the Outcast. Wherever you came from, people hated punks, so there was this bond. Stiff Little Fingers from Northern Belfast were the first to address their social situation directly in song. Until I heard the first Clash record, I'd been playing in cover bands, says their singer Jake Burns, singing songs about bowling down California highways when I'd never been further west than Galway. To hear the Clash singing about growing up in West London suddenly struck a huge chord within me.
Yap, 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 but I'm
Two journalists, Colin McClellan and Gordon Ogilvy, came to see the band at the Glenmochan Stables on November 14, 1977. The latter was from Southport, a writer for the Daily Express. He wondered if a Belfast band might use the punk vernacular to tell local story. When he realized that Burns was simpatico, he produced the lyrics to Suspect Device. Fanzine writers sniped at Stiff Little Fingers' connection with Fleet Street, but Burns welcomed what he saw as permission to release all the pent-up aggravation, and Suspect Device 45 was financed by McClellan and Ogilvy. Stiff Little Fingers stuck together the sleeves, which depicted the cache of IRA incendiary bombs, then packed boxes of the singles onto a bread van on a ferry run to Scotland. From Bruce's Records in Edinburgh, copies made their way to Rough Trade in London and to John Peel, who played it something like 10 nights in a row.
Okay, listen at the Ritz.
Louder! 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 sick.
Looking at you.